I want to welcome you to our Christmas services, whether this City Church is your home, maybe whether you're visiting family, or maybe you're just visiting for the first time tonight. We're so glad that you're here to worship with us. We're going to go back into a time of celebration in just a few minutes, and I'm going to keep it really brief, the message part tonight. We have been in this season of Advent, and if you don't know what Advent is kind of the waiting, the in-between. The very first Sunday in Advent, 4 weeks ago, we lit one of the candles of Advent. And what happens is it really is, it's symbolic of the light increasing the farther we get into Advent until tonight we lit the Christ candle, the candle of love. As we end tonight, you're gonna hold your individual candle and this whole room will be filled with the light. And it's symbolic how we know the light of Christ is growing and growing and growing, and the darkness cannot put it out. And that's what this journey really is about, of Advent. It's how do we wait in this in-between time? How do we hold two realities simultaneously, which is really hard to do? One reality is that Christ has come, and the other reality is that Christ will come again. One reality you're living with right now is that maybe you've chosen to follow Jesus, and you're saved, and you've said yes to living in the kingdom of God, but you're also living in a world that's still broken because of sin and death. And how many know we have to hold those two things at the same time? Sometimes we want our life, we want the Christmas season to be perfect. But just like anything else, this season comes with difficulties and brokenness, unexpected things, things that you didn't think that you would have to walk through. Lindsay and I, just a few weeks ago, we celebrated our 17th year of marriage. And I can go back and remember my first time with her family. Does anybody remember the first time you had Christmas with your in-laws? Right? It's a little bit nerve-wracking because, like, you're the new guy, right? And there's all these people there that you're kind of getting to know, but they have their own customs and traditions and a way of doing things. And in Lindsay's family, everybody buys presents for the kids, but then you draw a name, and one adult buys a present for one adult. And so I remember sitting there being the new guy, and someone hands me a present wrapped. And immediately I knew it was a shoebox with shoes inside. Now, you don't know this about me, but I am the pickiest person on the planet. There is a 1 in 1,000 chances of me loving what's in that shoebox. And so mentally, you've probably been there, I was preparing myself, no matter what is in that box, Matt, you have to love it, and you have to sell it that you love it, right? You've all been there before. Don't act like you haven't. You're like, you're preparing yourself, like, this is the greatest gift, no matter what's in there. Now, this box that I have here tonight is not the box that I opened 17 years ago, but what's inside this box is exactly what I opened 17 years ago. And I was not prepared at that moment for what was inside of here. Are you ready for this? I don't think you're prepared for it, right? I opened these beautiful things right here. You get a look at this. And I did probably what you did first seeing these, right? But then there's that little hint in your mind, you're like, is this a joke or not? And so you have to wait before, so somebody else has to laugh first before you do. But nobody else was laughing. And so I'm just kind of like, I'm waiting awkwardly. Is this a joke? Thank God it was. Come on. I think it was my sister-in-law who first kind of broke the ice and started laughing. And I'm thinking about wearing these back to Christmas this year just to commemorate 17 years. I've kept them in my closet. These hideous things for 17 years. Unexpected things in life. This Christmas season. Tonight, here's a few things I want to talk about. I'm going to keep it really brief. Advent is the realization that things are not perfect. But Christ breaks in to our broken world and brings hope, peace, joy, and love. In Advent, we set in this reality. Things are not as they should be. 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, Jesus was born into a broken and dark world. I think sometimes we forget that. We can read the story up here with the kids, and it sounds clean and kind of the sanitized versions where there's no rough edges, but Jesus was born into oppression, political oppression, Roman Empire, heavy taxation, military control, social dominance. There was economic hardship and poverty, severe economic crisis during this time. Violence and injustice, Herod ended up approving the massacre of all male children, baby boys under the years of 2. Can you imagine being in a town where all of the male children under the ages of 2 were killed? spiritually dark time, lack of hope. The prophetic voices in and around Israel had been silent for over 400 years. The light of Christ enters a world that is dark and bleak, offering hope, healing, and salvation. Tonight, I want to give us three things, three ways that Jesus brings us joy during the season of Advent into our lives. Number one, Jesus brings the promise of joy. He brings us the promise of joy. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, "And at the same region where the shepherds were out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" The initial response of the shepherds is a sharp contrast to the actual message of the angels. The initial response to divine presence and the glory of God is terror, right? And this is our response when something's unknown and overwhelming, which every person who ever saw an angel was overwhelmed, so I think it was terrifying. But he says, "Fear not. I know this is terrifying, but don't be afraid. This is actually the greatest message the world has ever known. The Messiah is here. The long-awaited promise has arrived." This is God's way of telling his people, you haven't been forgotten. You're not without hope. The promise of fulfillment. Number two, Jesus brings the fulfillment of joy. The fulfillment of joy. John chapter 1, verse 14. Maybe the greatest passage we get in all of Scripture. Mind-boggling to think about this. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." The eternal Logos, God, who was uncreated, who has always been from the very beginning, stepped out of eternity into this world and took on flesh for you and me. The promise of joy is fulfilled in the most incredible, unimaginable way. God steps into human history. I want you to think about this. God didn't send somebody else. God didn't send a message from afar. God didn't try to demand that you and I work our way back into God's favor. God came to us in the form of a baby because of love to redeem us. I love what Dietrich Bonhoeffer says about this. He says, "The incarnation is the supreme act of God's self-giving love. He did not send someone else, nor did he remain distant. Instead, he came himself, entering into our brokenness to redeem us. True love is not content to remain far off. It draws near, it sacrifices, it transforms." This is the beauty and the wonder of the Christian story. This is what love does. Love doesn't make a person earn their affection. Love doesn't stand back and watch. Love is selfless, it's compassionate. God sees the brokenness of this world, and instead of sending somebody else or sending a message, he comes down in the flesh and takes on the brokenness and the suffering for us. That's what this is about. This is what the incarnation is about. Last but not least, number three, Jesus brings the joy of salvation. Luke chapter 2, verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The manger ultimately points to the cross. Jesus comes in order to rescue us from sin and death and restore us to the relationship with God. This is the good news. In the middle of all this darkness, God is bringing hope, joy, and salvation to a weary, weary world. I have had the opportunity to go to Israel several times. One of my last trips that I went, when we looked at the itinerary, we actually weren't going into the town of Bethlehem, and so me and my pastor, we decided to go a little bit early, and we kind of made a day that we were going to go into Bethlehem and spend a day there and kind of see all the things and then meet up with a group of pastors from Tulsa, and we were going to do a tour together over the next week in Jerusalem and Galilee, and it was going to be a beautiful time together. I remember the night before we went in and got our hotel room, and I took a picture from the kind of the third, fourth floor of my hotel room. This is overlooking Bethlehem. If you don't know the geopolitical situation of Bethlehem, Bethlehem is actually in the West Bank. So it's you have to cross over the border wall into a territory that's mostly occupied by Palestinians. There's a few churches in this area, mostly a Muslim area. Most tourists don't go into this area because it's just not as safe, it's not as secure, and so not as many people go there. But we went there that night. We kind of ate dinner there, and I know you can't see in this picture, but if you see those steeples in the top left portion, if you would go a little bit to the left of that, you would see the church in the Nativity, where Jesus was supposedly born. That next morning, we had a great day planned. I was so excited. I kind of geek out in moments like this, and my theology side comes out. I was so excited to see all the things, and so we go to the church in the Nativity, and we go through and see the grotto, and there's tons of tourists there during that time. Then that afternoon, we ventured down to the Bethlehem Bible College, and I was going to meet some local pastors there that were doing Bible translation. They had worked with my dad, who does Bible translation, so we met some of them there. And while we're taking this tour of the Bethlehem Bible College, I hear yelling outside. And I look outside, and there's a group of Palestinian teenagers who are walking down the street, and they're chanting something, and I saw them throwing rocks. And so I asked the president of the Bible College, I'm like, what are they doing? And he's like, well, you'll see this every now and then. This is just kind of a little skirmish where some of the, especially the teenagers in and around this area, it's their way of protesting. Protesting the things that the Israelis are doing to them. And again, I'm not going to go into the details. It's always a geopolitical mess in that area. And so we continue our tour of the Bible College until things begin to escalate outside. All of a sudden, they raise the walls of the walls in between Jerusalem and Bethlehem, and we saw tanks begin to roll down the streets. They begin to shoot canisters of tear gas towards these people on the streets in front of us. And let me just tell you, in the next hour, all hell broke loose. I looked at the president of the Bible College. I'm like, is this normal? And he says, this is not normal. This doesn't always happen here. And in fact, we were trapped inside the Bethlehem Bible College. We couldn't leave. And so I grabbed my cell phone like any of you would have done, and I stuck it outside the window, and I took this video that you're about to watch right here. Peaceful little town of Bethlehem. My peaceful trip to Bethlehem had turned into quite a nightmare. I'll never forget, we were kind of stuck in there for several hours, and the rocks turned into tear gas, turned into tanks rolling down the street, turned into live bullets. If you saw the young men in the bottom part of that picture, he'd just been shot in the leg, and they were carrying him to a hospital. What I thought would be a quiet, beautiful trip was actually a picture of the brokenness in our world. What I experienced that day in Bethlehem was probably more a reality of what it was really like during the time of Jesus than sometimes what we think it is. In fact, we never made it to the field of the shepherds that night. That's where we were gonna go. The tear gas was so thick in the air you couldn't go outside. Immediately your eyes would begin to water. So me and my pastor and some other pastors in and around Bethlehem, we went to a coffee shop that night. And we sat there, and we talked about this. We talked about the brokenness of the world that we live in. We talked about what would it have been like 2,000 years ago for Jesus being born into this geopolitical nightmare that how many know 2,000 years later hasn't changed? Still a mess. Which brings me all the way back to where we started here a few minutes ago. Advent is the realization that things are not perfect. But Christ breaks into our broken world and brings hope, peace, joy, and love. One of the reasons that we stop during the seasons of during Advent and wrestle through this is because so many people in this world, they are waiting for circumstances or things to change. Oh, if I can just get into this relationship, if I just get this job, if I can just get through it, if we can just get here, then I'll experience the hope, peace, joy, and love of Christ. But how many know that's not how life works? Because we live in a world that's full of brokenness. Jesus says troubles are gonna come. You're always gonna have trouble. But take heart, he says, I've overcome this world. The message of Advent is not that we wait for our circumstances to change. It's that God moves in the midst of our situation and brings his hope, peace, joy, and love to our lives right where we're at. I want to invite you tonight to stand to your feet with me. The message that God is bringing us to a dark and hurting world through the birth of Jesus is this. Number one, you are deeply loved by God. You are deeply loved by God. I don't care what somebody else may have said to you or what you've thought about God. God stepping out of eternity and taking on flesh was the ultimate love story of what God thinks about you. Number two is this, sin has broken our relationship with him. Sin has fractured the relationship that you and I got to experience with God that we were created for. We were created for the Garden of Eden, for relationship with pure, like this kind of unbroken fellowship and relationship, but sin and death have broken that. Number three, through Jesus, joy and salvation are freely offered. Through Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection, he is offering us salvation. But number four is this, we are invited to accept this gift of salvation. You and I have to accept it. We have to realize that we cannot save ourselves. We need a savior. And number two, we are not Lord of our own lives. We need somebody else to be Lord of our lives. If you would, right where you're at, just close your eyes, bow your heads with me. I want to take a moment and just reflect on this Advent season. Take a minute and reflect on the reality that God, the creator of the universe, who was uncreated, has always been from the beginning, stepped out of eternity, took on flesh, and became a baby for you, to redeem you, to win you back. That is what God thinks about you. That's to the extent that God would go to win you back to him. I'm going to pray for us tonight. Maybe you're in this room and you've never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Tonight is a perfect opportunity to do that. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or come forward. This is a private moment between you and God. But I'm going to ask that you pray with me. And in this moment that you declare your need for a Savior. You declare your need for Jesus to be Lord of your life. You trust in the work of Jesus and what he's done for you. Father, we thank you. God, our response to such extravagant love is just worship. It's just awe of who you are. God, thank you that you would step out of eternity for us to win us back. And I gather with people in this room and we declare, God, that you are our Savior and Lord, that we cannot save ourselves, we can't redeem ourselves, but you can. We thank you for that. We thank you for the work of Jesus and what you've done. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. During the season of Advent, we have lit the candles of hope, peace, joy, and love. From these candles tonight, we're going to collectively light our candles. If you would take the candle that was sitting on your seat when you arrived, in just a few moments, somebody's going to be coming down each row. They're going to light the first candle on each row. As your candle is lit, you're going to turn to the person next to you and light their candle. Here's a little pro tip for you real quick. So not to get any wax on you or our beautiful facility. Once your candle is lit, go ahead and just keep that thing upright the whole time. That'll help not get wax anywhere else. We're going to sing Silent Night together as we collectively light our candles and remember what Christ has done. The light of the world has come to earth, and we will never be the same again. Amen? Amen. Let's worship.
Holy infant, so
tonight. We're so grateful for your light that has come into this world, and the world will never be the same. That your light will continue to grow until one day that you come and return for us, and the darkness will be no more. God, we're so grateful for that. Thank you for the gift of your Son. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.